Hi, listeners. This week's guest is not only charismatic, but creating a lot of buzz on Twitter due to his new friendships among the cast of BB23. I had the chance to chat with Big Brother Canada 9's Rohan Kapoor. He was so great, and I can't wait for you to hear it. And if you have any hookup for Chicago Bulls tickets, he might be a fan. If you like this podcast, it would be super helpful if you would rate and review and subscribe wherever you're listening. I would really appreciate it. And now, here is my interview with Rohan Kapoor.
Hello, how are you?
How are you?
Good, good. How are you? Sorry, I'm a couple minutes late.
Oh, that's okay. Thanks for doing this.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, this is going to be super easy. We're just hanging out, chatting, like we're best friends. It's pretty.
We are best friends.
We are. I've made so many best friends during this podcast. And you're one of them. So
there you go. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the pod. I mean, we're just going to kind of get started with, so kind of a brief introduction, which I will probably give before this anyways. You are from Big Brother Canada, season 9, mm-hmm. Which means you're from Canada. So tell us a little bit, where do you live in Canada? What do you do on a day-to-day? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, no. So I am from Canada. I'm from Toronto. I grew up like 45 minutes of Toronto. So I've kind of always been in the area. And for work, so I'm a partnerships manager. I work in e-commerce and it's just kind of a business development type role. I'm focused on like driving deals for my company and going to events and working with partners. And so it's like a very like front-facing interactive job, which is perfect for me. I think like I use that like in my role, in my application too, just like talk about my job and how like interact with people and like relationship management, and all that kind of stuff, to like apply to the Big Brother game. And that was like one of the things I talked about a lot throughout the process. So yeah, I mean, it's a fun job, like keeps me on my toes for sure. Toronto's a great city to live in too. It's like, you know, if there was anywhere to be in Canada, I'd be in Toronto. And I encourage anyone south of the border to come visit at any time. It's a great place. But yeah, that's kind of my day to day.
I love that. And that's funny because that kind of leads right into sort of the first question I ask everyone, which is really about like, why did you apply? What did you use to like your advantage? And like, you just spoke to that a little bit, but what made you want to be on Big Brother?
So I've been a fan of the show for like quite a few years, right? Like, so when it originally started in the US, I was watching all of those seasons. I think I've seen everything up until like maybe like as early as season 5 in the US. And I've seen all of those seasons up until at that point, 22. And in Canada, they came in 2013. So I was like, I was super hyped about it, like amped up. And when they came in 2013, I was only 19. So that's like the minimum age you have to be in order to apply for the show. So I didn't apply that first year. I think I applied the second or the third season the first time, just like, honestly, a last minute application, really didn't put too much effort into it. It was just like, okay, I'm just going to go and do this. So I'm not surprised I didn't get a call back there. But then I haven't actually applied since. It was 2013. I didn't apply for any of the previous, I guess, 5 or 6 seasons. And then last year, like everybody's in COVID, like people are at home. It's getting like really repetitive. I'm living downtown Toronto, but I can't do anything. And so I was just like, you know what? I need to kind of go and do something new. And then that's when I looked back and I revisited the Big Brother applications. Everything was online, right? Because nobody can do anything in person. It was COVID. So, you know, the in-person casting auditions were kind of moved to online and everybody's on the same playing ground. So I just submitted a 3-minute video and I was like, you know, look, this is who I am. This is what I do for a living. This is how I think I can play the game. And this is why I think I can do well. And, you know, eventually got a call back, which was great and kind of moved through the process. But yeah, I've always been a fan of the show. I thought at the time, like I would do like well in the show. And I spoke very confidently in the application video and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it was a fun process to go through. Like, obviously grateful that I got the opportunity because not many people do.
Yeah. What was it like finding out, like what was going through your head? Were you starting to strategize then or were you just excited? Like what was happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think like from the point that I got that first call, I was like almost starting to think about strategy, right? Just in terms of how I play the game, because I know like going through this process, I'm gonna start to have to talk about the game a little bit. My experience with watching the show and being a fan of the show and how I can apply, my real life scenarios to how I play the game. So it almost started, processing in my mind immediately. But when I found out like that I was actually gonna be on the show, like at that point, it's like, okay, this is really becoming real right now. Like I need to take a step back and actually like draw out the strategy in my head and make sure that I have everything, make sure that I know everything that I want to do as soon as I step foot in there. Obviously people know that have played the game at this point, that you really can't go in with anything, right? Because like something's going to change at some point in time. Like when we walked in, we found out almost immediately that we were going to be in this team's twist where we were playing as a two teams of seven for the first couple of weeks, as opposed to total individuals. And so like immediately that just kind of threw my plan and my strategy out the window. So it's tough to really like formulate it and put it on paper and set it in stone, but it's always nice to have something in the back of your mind in terms of how you want to play the game. And so I just tried to do as best as I could in that situation.
Yeah, and that's actually really interesting because I feel like the teams of seven is quite large for a team twist because that's like a, equivalent to like an eight person alliance, which never goes well in the house. And so it's kind of like you're pitting the two sides against each other, and it can become, to start the game that way can be a little stressful.
It is a little stressful, and you're almost like, first of all, this is the smallest season of Big Brother Canada has been in terms of people, right? There's only 14 of us this year. It's never been this small. And so 7 and 7, yeah, quite large teams though, right? And so you almost feel like this pressure of like having to work with the people that are on your team, because like it's like you don't know how long the team's twist is going to be around for. I think everybody the first week knew it wasn't going to be around forever, but we didn't know how long, right? And so it's like, okay, like I need to form these good relationships within my team of seven right now, but I know that I want to work with people on the other side too. So I'm going to start to formulate those relationships at the same time. But yeah, definitely a new twist. So I was like, I was glad to see Big Brother implement that. I thought it was fun. I think watching it as a fan would have been fun too. So, I'm all for that, even though it didn't turn out well for me in the first couple of weeks there.
That's funny. Would you do anything differently as far as like your strategy going in if you went back into the house, or would you try to, maybe do what you didn't have a chance to do?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple different things, right? Like, I think in terms of strategy, I think I had a good head on my shoulders going in terms of what I wanted to do and how I wanted to form relationships. But I think the team's twist just threw me for a loop a little bit, and it turns out that my team loses the first 2 weeks. I'm on the block for the first 2 weeks, and suddenly I just kind of have to play with my back against the wall. And so at that point, I think it's when people started to think that, okay, like maybe we're actually going to want to try to get Rohan out of this game, just based on the way I was talking to people and the things that I was saying. It wasn't necessarily something I wanted to pull out so early, but I think people got a little bit threatened just in terms of, where they could see me in terms of potential in the game. And it's unfortunate that it happened that way, because I would have much preferred to like be on the offensive early on, like be in the right position where I could control the conversations and not necessarily have the person opposite me control the conversations because I'm on the block, right? And so that kind of threw me for a loop, and that was a little unfortunate. In terms of like game, like actual moves, I think like the one regret that I'll have is when Austin and Brayden were on the block, Victoria placed them up as the invisible HOH. I went out and I won that power of veto competition, knowing that I'd probably be in a tough spot and whether to use it or not to use it. So if I could go back in terms of the one game move, I would just probably have thrown that veto competition to preferably Austin, so she could have taken herself off the block. And I think in that scenario, probably Tina Tara would have gone up as a replacement, and probably Brayden would have actually gone home as a result of that. So, I just think it would have changed the dynamic of the game a little bit, but I won the power of veto and I had to make a decision, and I did. So that's how it turned out.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I've had quite a few now house guests on this podcast, and a lot of them talk about, there's a skill level required to play and do well in Big Brother, but there's also this level of luck. Will the twist play in your favor? Will you, line eyes with the right person when you first walk in? Like all of those types of things kind of play this weird hand in how things turn out. So I think that's really interesting that you kind of touch on that, because it's like you just happen to be on this team. You just happen to, like, all of these things just happened to you. And so it is really interesting to hear that perspective, because as you probably have seen on Twitter, people like to be very opinionated about, well, you should have done this and you should have done this. And it's like, sometimes you don't really have a choice because of just the way that things go, which is really interesting to hear from so many people.
Yeah. And the way that people watch the show and the way that people actually, like, when you're inside, it's just totally different. Right. And so, like, I know this as a fan too, like watching the first several, you know, number of seasons in Canada and then watching all those episodes in the US too. Like, you know, I've been critical of Game Moves too, where it's like, why would you ever do this? And like, you know, at some point it seems obvious, but like, you know, at other points it's like, well, there's so much going on behind the scenes that you really just don't know about as a viewer just watching the casual episodes on TV, that like, you know, there's a lot more going into the decision. So, you know, with Twitter, like, you know, it's like, it's tough. And I think it's like, I didn't really go that far back in my Twitter comments to be like, okay, like what was said about me on this specific date when I didn't use the veto or anything like that. Cause I know that was probably like a rough time for me on Twitter, but you know, there was, when I came out, like there were so many positive comments when I came out of the house on Twitter. Like I just, you know, spent my time reading those, and like, it was 95% positive, where it was just like, you know, the few Game Moves everybody's going to be critical of, and everyone's going to have things said about them. You know, with respect to the game and what they could have done better, but like, they're not in there playing the game. So it's like, it's definitely a different scenario.
Yeah, totally. This year we're kind of seeing this interesting wave with Survivor 41, BB23 of diversity sort of enhancing reality TV, which I think is very interesting. And The Circle kind of started the wave kind of pre-COVID with their first season in the US being very diverse with a lot of eclectic personalities and backgrounds. And then we saw that this year with your particular season and with Big Brother 23 and now with Survivor. Like, how did it feel to be part of kind of like a monumental season for Big Brother Canada?
I mean, it felt really good. I think, like, you know, at face value, obviously, and on levels much deeper than that, like, it's the cast that we saw with BBK9 and BB23 and The Circle and Survivor. Like, it's just so much more representative of what the countries are now, right? Like, it's, you know, gone are the days where we saw, like, you know, the old, I'm not going to reference a specific season, but like, I mean, it's just like, it's just so much more representative to have, you know, for example, our season 50% BIPOC, or over a third of the cast was in the LGBTQ. Like, I mean, it's so refreshing, I think, for people to watch. And there's so many people out there in Canada and the US that can actually relate to one or more of the house guests in there. And, you know, you don't see that too many people that are actually the same, which is very, very nice. And to like be part of that was great. I went in knowing that they were going to cast a specific number in the BIPOC category because they had announced it, I think, like the summer prior or something like that. So I was great. I was grateful, obviously, to see them make that announcement. But I think we saw just how it played out really, really well, right? Like in BBK9, BB23, I'm hearing in Survivor right now. I need to catch up on that. The casts are just like, it's sounding like above and beyond compared to what we've seen in the past. So, you know, I'm never going to say that for myself, because like I was on the season, but like, I'm grateful to hear that people think that way. And I was obviously grateful to be a part of it, because I think, like, as I said, it's so much more representative of what we're seeing now in both of these countries.
Yeah, for sure. And then kind of in that wave, so diversity is huge in the world right now. And so is mental health. Mm-hmm. What did that look like for you, like transitioning out of the house, as far as like, what were you feeling? Like, what was happening kind of in your brain transitioning back into quote unquote normal life?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a really good question. I think a lot of people kind of skip over this. And I did do another podcast called Life's a Wreck with Kyle Moore out of the East Coast of Canada, just talking about this, right? Because like when you go in there, you lose like all access to any communication with the outside world, right? Social media, emails, any kind of news that's going on. You know, you're isolated for a bit. And then you go into this house with like 14, 15 different strangers that you've never seen or met in your life. So it definitely hits you hard, right? And those first couple of days, it's definitely an adjustment. But you know, there, not only that with the relationships you have in the house, but there's so many game elements that are going on that sometimes it's just, you need to take a step back and just like take time for yourself and just take a quick breather and understand that like you're doing the best you can. under the circumstances, and not many other people are in the same position as you right now. So I did do a lot of thinking and a lot of reflecting in the house just while I was in there, when certain things in the game were going on, or if I just had some downtime and I had some time to think. But even coming out of the house, it's like very overwhelming, right? Because Big Brother is one of those shows that doesn't pre-record and then air after, right? Like Survivor, The Bachelor, or Love Island, or any of these other shows, right? Like, we air in real time, so every Thursday is a live eviction, and so we don't know what people are saying about us. We don't know how we're perceived on the outside, and so when we get our phones back and all communication after the finale, then it's like it all hits us at once, and it's like, oh my God, look at all these comments. We're getting into Twitter holes. We're getting into Instagram holes. Like, it's definitely overwhelming. And not only that, but you also get news from the outside world about like what's going on in current events, like with COVID or with the NBA. Like, I'm a fan of basketball, so just like random stuff like that, right? It definitely does. Whether you had a good experience or whether you had a bad experience in the house, like, there definitely is the mental health component to it, where like it is refreshing just to like kind of take a step back and talk to someone about the experience, and just get your thoughts all out on the table and make sure that you're doing okay adjusting to real life. Because cutting cold turkey and then getting it all back at once is not like the healthiest thing for you. But it's important, obviously, that you take the time to handle it at whatever pace you feel necessary. So some people were back within a week, some people took a little bit longer to adjust back to real life, and it's really just different for everybody based on how you handle certain situations.
Yeah, totally. Gosh. And you all were in the house kind of at a really pivotal time, like in the spring, where things weren't really like on the up and up quite yet. And like a lot happened in that time, I feel like, while you were in the house. So that's, yeah, totally. Like catching up on that is like,
I didn't even know vaccines were rolling out like while I was in the house. So we like that's one of the things I found out on the outside. It's like, oh, okay. So
wow,
yeah.
that's so crazy. So, what did you tell your job when you were like, hey, I'm going on this TV show and I'm taking potentially 2, 3 months off work?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really fortunate to work at a company where they're very open to people kind of like living the dream and doing things that are going to build their brand and build their success in their own ways, right? And so, and Big Brother's tough because you don't know how long you're actually going to be gone, right? If you're one of those pre-jury members, you could be back in a matter of 3 weeks, especially if you're like the first boot or the second boot, right? You're back super quick, where you get your phone back and you're back to work and emails and all that kind of stuff. But if you make it to jury, then you're gone for the full 3 months. And so it's kind of confusing to be like, hey, like I could be gone anywhere from like 3 weeks to 3 months. And it was a conversation that I went in not really knowing what they were going to say in terms of taking time off. But like, honestly, they were super understanding about it. As soon as I told them like what it was for, and I could potentially need up to 3 months off to go and live out this opportunity, they were like super receptive to it. And they're just like, you know what, like go live the dream. We'll put you on short leave and then come back after the 3 months, and we'll get you back to work. And so I was just like obviously super grateful for that. And like, I understand not everybody has that, because people do have to quit their jobs. We've seen that plenty of times in the past with Big Brother, where it's just like, no, we can't give you 3 months off and you're not coming back after that. So yeah, very, very lucky to have that back with me now. And obviously the team is super, super great about it. So
Yeah, no, that's awesome. What is it like kind of being like a celebrity, like a reality TV star, and now you're like doing a 9 to 5 day job?
Yeah, I mean, like, definitely. I mean, the first couple months was absolutely crazy, especially living in Toronto, right? Like, so many people came up to me on the street, recognized me, and like wanted to take pictures and stuff. And it's just like a really surreal experience, just like coming off people's big screens. So, I loved it, obviously. I milk it as long as possible, for sure. But definitely a surreal experience, and something that I'm not normally accustomed to. And then just going back to work too, right? Like, my company is actually smaller in Canada. They're based in the US, and so there's a smaller team in Canada. So like everybody up here obviously watched the show. And then I had a couple of my teammates that are in Canada. They were like posting updates in the group chats for work, and so everybody was updated on it. And so when I came back, like just doing that big company-wide meeting that we do every Monday, people were obviously, yeah, my boss is like welcoming me back and stuff, and I just give a quick highlight of my experience. And so everybody was like asking questions, of course. Friends and family are asking questions, people that you run into on the street are asking questions. Like, everybody wants to know the ins and outs of the whole experience. And so I kind of got like on auto I was just kind of on auto for a bit, where I was just like pumping out the same answers to a lot of people. But yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's fun to obviously be recognized and to, you know, talk to people about the experience and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, a lot of my castmates obviously are in the same boat. And yeah, like the first kind of couple months was crazy. And even now, right. Like, I mean, we're like 6 months out of the game. Like people are still coming up and, you know, chatting you up. So, you know, love to see it, obviously. And it shows that people are fans of the show, and like, you know, it's the number one reality show in Canada. So for us, it's great.
That's awesome. That's so funny. Mm-hmm. So like, what might we see you do next? Like with, like, you now have like a brand, like a personal brand. Are you going to mm-hmm. do anything that you can share with us?
Yeah. I mean, like, so obviously back to the 9 to 5 right now, just to obviously kind of, you know, get back into routine, but like, definitely interested to stay in this world in some way, shape or form. Like, I think, you know, being on TV was great. If there's any way to kind of replicate this experience, with something else, then I definitely will look at that opportunity for sure, but staying in content, and just kind of giving people something to talk about is something that I've been interested in. So exploring a couple of different avenues right now, just on the side when I do have some downtime. And then if I can kind of turn this brand into something bigger, then obviously I'm going to jump at that opportunity. And, you know, hopefully it turns into something else later down the line. We'll see.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so now the big questions. You were just in LA recently.
Yes.
Was so sad I couldn't meet up with you. You were hanging out with BB23. You were hanging out at Todrick's house. You were mm-hmm. you were chilling. Why'd you come down?
So I actually came down for work. I was speaking at a conference in LA. And so I was there for, I think originally I was supposed to be there for like 3 days. And then Braden, who came second on my season, was like, hey, like, yeah, I'm going to fly down and just kind of hang out. And I was like, oh, okay, like, perfect. Like, this is going to be fun. So, you know, Braden, you know, came down, we hung out for a couple of days, but those couple of days I was just like working all day. So he was chilling in LA, and while he was kind of chilling and doing his own thing, he was kind of going back and forth with a couple of people on the BB23 cast, who literally at that point, they were like a week and a half out of the house, like not even. So like super, super fresh. Just like letting him know that he and I were in LA, and then, you know, we kind of like orchestrated the dinner just to like meet up and you know, meet the cast on the other side of the border, which was really nice. And after that dinner, honestly, like, we just kind of clicked really quickly with the cast. I think, you know, that first dinner was Kyle and Tiffany, Hannah and DX. And we were just like, we all had such a good time. We ended up spending like the rest of the night with them. And then Braden and I extended the trip by a couple of days and hung out in LA with them for a bit at Todrick's and, you know, out at night too. I ended up going home, I think like later that week, and then Braden stayed for a couple extra days and then flew home. So honestly, they're a great group. Like, we vibe with them really well, and like, I would definitely consider us friends now. Like, I think like we'll be chatting you know, for a good period going forward, and you know, hopefully we'll get another opportunity to see them soon. I know Braden was in Tampa recently. I couldn't make that trip, but the next one, hopefully I will be able to.
What's mm-hmm. going on with Hannah?
Honestly, the Bulls have a great team this year. DeMar DeRozan's playing for the Bulls. I could definitely make a trip down to Chicago and catch a game. I mean, I just need a couple tickets and then I'm there. But, you know, I love basketball. I love the Bulls. And, you know, Chicago's a great city.
It's a fantastic answer.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm like losing my train of thought now. Yeah, so I guess it's just like very interesting because you feel so, I mean, and everyone that I've talked to, I guess, feels this way. Like, they feel so like normal, but you like have gone back to your job, which I feel like is kind of rare for people who like go on a show like Big Brother, because then they kind of can just start doing whatever else they want to do. And you kind of said like you're working on stuff on the side. But like, is that hard to juggle? Like, I mean, you're doing this podcast with me. You just got off a work call. Like, what does that balance look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it's a lot, right? There's a lot going on right now with both work and content stuff and, you know, mixing everything else in between, like friends and family. So like the days are busy, I'm not gonna lie. Like ever since I left, you know, the finale in May, like things have been like up the wall busy. So that's something that I kind of just like mentally prepared myself for coming out. It's just like, it's gonna be like a lot of work to get back to my original job and then build up this other kind of brand that I might have now. So you know, definitely doing the most that I can, but like trying to at the same time take a step back and take a rest every now and then. And you know what, I went back the quickest out of anyone, I think, to my job. I was like, I literally took another week after the show, and then you know they wanted me back, and so I kind of hopped back on and started to do some stuff to kind of get back in the groove of things. Which, you know, was probably a little bit too quick in retrospect, just in terms of like, you know, me taking myself a nice mental break and actually having a time to adjust before doing anything like that. But I was able to kind of handle it appropriately. I think some of the other people in my cast, some have definitely gone back to work. I think some have quit their jobs. Some are staying in this whole world. It's just a matter of like, you know, what you feel like you want to do. And so like, as I said, I'm kind of doing two things at once right now, just trying to focus on a couple of different, I guess, career options and see in terms of what I can do going forward. I'm really glad to see that the US cast, the BB23 cast, is doing so well at it. Like I think a lot of them really could carve themselves out a career. You know, Tiffany is hilarious. Like Hannah's huge on TikTok and she knows what she's doing in there. Kylan's personality, like, you know, DX's personality. There's so much there that they got going for them that they can really turn this into something. And that's something that I'm trying to do for myself too. Yeah, I mean, it's just like it all comes with time and we'll see when that comes around. But yeah.
Would you ever move to the States?
Yeah, like I'm always been receptive. I've always been receptive to that. I've never, weirdly enough, like I've never kind of done a job stint or like lived anywhere for an extended period of time aside from where I am now. So that's, and I'm 27. That's something that I wish I could have done maybe earlier in my 20s. But it's not too late, right? Like if there's a right opportunity that takes me south of the border, then I think like that'd be a fantastic opportunity to jump at. So something that I for sure would evaluate. Right. I think like just my recent time in LA, like I just had such a good time there. And it's just like definitely a vibe for me, like where if an opportunity came up, I'd be like, okay, you know, LA is definitely on the list. And, you know, I love New York too. And, you know, a few different places in the US. So if anything ever took me somewhere, like for sure, I'd be receptive to it. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. LA is, some people really don't like it. We just moved like a month ago. And we're obsessed. Like the energy, it's sunny. I don't know. It's just something about it is just such a good vibe that it just
Right.
feels really good. So yeah, if you ever end up here, definitely let me know.
Definitely, I will.
yeah, that's really interesting. So you've never like done like even though your company is based here, you've never like come here for like a long period of time.
Yeah, that's right. Like I've been at this company for like almost a year and a half at this point. So they're based in California, but like I'm remote out of Toronto. And before that, I was always working for Canadian companies. So it's never really taken me anywhere in terms of a job. But like, you know, if there's an opportunity to, I know like plenty of you know, workplaces offer like, you know, 4 month abroad or 6 month abroad or a year to two abroad. Like those are always good opportunities to jump at. So like if you're early in your career, I'd definitely recommend taking one of those just to get some like outside experience. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's like I'm 27. It's not too late. I wish I did it earlier in my 20s, but I didn't. So if anything kind of jumps at me, then I'll be like, okay, like let's take a look at this seriously for sure. And I love the US too. Like I always love coming down and visiting and checking out new cities too. You know, California is great, New York's great, and a bunch of stuff in between. Like I love the city of Chicago too. So you know, those are all places that like I would like live, and then like other places are like great to visit always. So Miami also, geez, love Miami, but it feels more of a vacay vibe. But yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I'm always be receptive to it. Yeah.
No, I love that. And I think it's good to keep an open mind too, especially like Canada and the US are so close and like it feels pretty easy to like bounce back and forth. I mean, you've clearly hung out with like Brayden recently because we saw that kind of transpire on the internet, but do you stay in touch with a lot of your cast? Like, who are you really close with?
Yeah, I mean, I do stay in touch with like I guess like consistently, maybe like half or a little bit more than half of the cast. Just like, you know, even if it's a quick text here or there to check in, I would say like, you know, I'm pretty close to Brayden, Austin, of course, like Spicy V, Jedson. I got really close to after the show. You know, Ty's in the area here too, so talk to him from time to time and see him occasionally. You know, Tara is about a 3.5 hour drive, so she's made a couple efforts to come to Toronto. I surprised her for her birthday in Niagara Falls, which was super fun. Tina, I haven't seen. She's out, out on the East Coast, but whenever she comes here, like definitely would hang out with her too. So yeah, I mean, like a good chunk of the cast, like I definitely like keep in touch with, either see or text with on a more consistent basis. And you know, I just had dinner with Spicy V last night, and it was like so refreshing and you know, great to catch up with her and her boyfriend as well. So you know, there are a bunch of good people on the cast. Like it's like we talked about earlier, it was really well cast this season, so I'm happy to hang out with them.
Yeah, that's cool. So, what is it like? Did you feel like your relationship with people changed when you got out of the house? Like, were you kind of like, oh, you're like, not in a bad way, but just like a totally different person than you were inside the Big Brother house?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like you kind of hit the nail on the head. It's just like it's so hard to know people inside four walls, in terms of like how they actually are on the outside and how they act and who they are generally speaking. So, I mean, I definitely can think of a few specific cases or a couple specific cases on the outside where things have totally changed, based on my experience with them in the house. And it just happens. Like, you know, you kind of have to be prepared for it. Like not everyone's going to be kumbaya on the outside and hold hands and sing songs together, right? Like it's definitely a different scenario on the outside, and people go back to their real lives and they revert back to their actual personalities and out of game mode. And I think once that happens, you know, people's true colors and everything start to come to light, and you start to understand what kind of people are. And then you're just gonna, at that point, you're just gonna vibe with certain people, and you're not gonna vibe with certain people. It's like nobody's mad about it. Like nobody's gonna be like, well, you know, I knew this person for 70 days in the house. Like, you know, I thought this person was gonna be like, you know, so close to me, or I thought I was gonna hate this person for the rest of my life, and now I actually kind of like them. Like, it's you never know. And so, definitely had a couple scenarios where you kind of hit the nail on the head there with just like not knowing who they are on the inside and kind of getting a different spirit on the outside. And you know, that's part of it all.
Yeah. Did you offer like any advice to BB23? Because, like you said, they were super fresh out of the house. You had kind of been through like months and months of transitioning back, getting to know your cast. Like, did you tell them anything when you met up with them?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they were so fresh out of the house when we met them. Like as I mentioned, I think they were a week or a week and a half out of the house. So like really they were in like that phone mode where they're like checking what people are saying about them online and like, you know, getting back to people and you know, hitting up the DMs and all that kind of stuff. Like it's so fun, right? Like you've never kind of had this experience before as a regular citizen. And so I don't know if we had like that, like we like sat down and actually talked about like specific pieces of advice, but like I think it was just kind of ingrained in the conversations that Brayden and I had with them, where you know we would just like talk about, you know, life inside the house and then life as it relates to outside the house and that whole transition. And so like I think just it came up in regular conversation where we'd be like, oh, you know, Brayden and I handle things this way, like this is our experience with it. And you know, it you know, hopefully they were able to take some takeaways from those conversations and apply it to their lives as well. But yeah, I mean, I think they've got so much more coming for them too. Like they only got out of the house 2 months ago at this point. Like there's so much upside there, and I know that they're all having pretty good experiences, or at least the ones that I've met and talked to on the outside, and they're all handling it super well. So it's definitely good to see from our perspective too.
Yeah, totally. Are you close with any other cast from the US Big Brother? Like, do you chat with anyone else, or is this kind of a rare crossover?
Well, I think the timing just lined up well with BB23, and you know, we got out of the house in May, and then they got out of the house in September. So, like, I think just like us going through the same-ish experience in a relatively same period of time, like it was just like kind of nice for us to align on that line, that side of things. In terms of like other U.S. cast members, like yes, I have talked to other U.S. cast members. I don't know if I've met any in person yet, maybe one or two. But yeah, I mean, like, people will reach out and be like, hey, like, I watched the season, or, you know, great job in there. And, you know, people that have played the game years ago that know the experience that we've gone through. And so it's nice to see, obviously, people from south of the border reaching out and saying what's up. And so definitely had a few conversations here and there. But yeah, I would say, like, for sure, like, BB23 closest to at this point. And, you know, if I have the opportunity to meet any others going forward, then that'd be great too. And even in Canada from our past seasons too.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. It's kind of interesting because the Big Brother, like, franchise isn't even really a franchise, because there's not, like, Big Brother and then they have all of these spinoffs. They're not connected in any way, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Because I think it would be fun to see, like, a season where it's an all-star season, but it's US and Canada or something like that. But I don't know if that would ever happen, because they're not the same, like, network, not the same owner. Like, it's just kind of an interesting thing, but let's pretend for a minute that they are. Mm-hmm. You have seen most of US Big Brother seasons. Who mm-hmm. would you want to be on an all-star season with from the US?
Oh my God, that's such a good question. There's so many good players. I mean, like, you know what?
I know, I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I know, it's okay. I mean, like, my all-time fave, and, like, obviously, like, you know, the undisputed best player in Big Brother history is Dan Kiesling, in my opinion. Like, you know, he's someone that I would definitely want to see. You know, Vanessa Russo, I think from 17, she was a phenomenal player. You know, Derek Levasseur. These are all, like, people that have played the game, obviously, extremely well. And it's like, well, I figured they'd be, like, cast in some sort of, like, all-star scenario. Eventually, even though we didn't see them in the last All-Star season, right? So, I mean, there's so many good players that those are definitely, like, three of my top ones that, in terms of, like, how I feel they played the game best. If I could just, like, go through the cast in the season, I could definitely handpick, like, a variety of them that I would, like, either love to meet or love to play the game with, because, like, you want to see on Big Brother, either you want to see, like, really, really strong game players, or you want to see, like, really, really strong personalities, or a combination of both, right? So, like, either of those are going to be entertaining. And there's a handful of people that just don't fit either one of those. And then there's, you know, many more that do fit either one or the other. So, any scenario would be great.
Interesting. Now, this question you cannot answer if you don't want to. Do you think any final two people have been robbed of their win by getting second place in Big Brother US?
I'm trying to think back to the seasons here. So,
I can think of a couple that have been controversial, and I know where I stand, but I'm curious mm-hmm. if you have any, like, where you're like, oh my gosh, this person got second place and they should have mm-hmm. totally won the game.
Yeah, it's so tough to say. I'm hesitant to say if anyone actually got robbed, because, like, if you're sitting in the final two and you lose, like, that's on you for, like, not appropriately managing the jury or forming the good relationships there. And so, like, even if, like, to the TV viewers, you played the best game, which is it's very possible that somebody sitting in the final two played the better game and didn't win. Like, I'm not saying that, but, like, to say that they were robbed, I don't know, because, like, jury management and, like, controlling those relationships is so pivotal and you actually winning the game. Like, it doesn't matter how you're perceived on TV. It matters how you're perceived to the rest of the house. And so I think just making that distinguishing, you know, realization for the final two is important. So people that were the better players lost the game for sure. But I don't know if I'd say robbed. Maybe you could list your kind of robbed situations for me, and then I can tell you if I think they were, you know, I guess, okay, quote-unquote, so robbed.
I'll tell you the one I'm thinking of. I think back to Big Brother 19, Paul and Josh, and a lot of people. I actually interviewed Elena Davies on this podcast, and she says mm-hmm. a lot of people will come up to her and be like, still to this day, you should have voted for Paul. I can't believe you didn't vote for Paul to win. Yeah, we're a divided household. My partner, he thinks Paul should have won. And mm-hmm. I kind of agree with you in the sense where I'm like, I think jury management is a huge part of it.
And it's like, it's kind of dependent on the crop of the house guests that you get that particular season, right? And just, like, the way they think and the way they'd operate, right? And so, like, I think, like, more of the jury members in that scenario just, like, resonated with Josh and his loyalty, which is totally fair. if I were sitting in the jury that season, and I was like part of like one of Paul's final three alliances and I got evicted, I probably still would have cast my vote for Paul. Just like based on like, you know, and you saw that in my, you know, I voted for Ty this year. Just like, you know, even if someone like really does you dirty or they're coming after you in the game, like, you know, if you can respect certain facets of what they did in there, like I'm still going to cast my vote in that direction. And so, you know, even though I love Gray and Gray's one of my best friends, like, you know, with Paul, like, it's kind of one of those scenarios I was talking about earlier, right? Where like he definitely played the better game, in my opinion, than Josh did. But Josh was much more loyal, right? And he kind of stuck to his guns with the two people he wanted to work with the most. And I think like the people in the jury that year just respected that loyalty a little bit more than the cutthroat kind of gameplay that Paul took everybody else through. And yeah, it just kind of goes back to that relationship management in the jury, where it's like, okay, like, you know, Paul had these final three alliances and it was definitely like a good strategy at face value. But then he kind of gets stuck in a corner where it's just like, well, when they find out about it in jury and when he doesn't actually have a chance to tell them about it personally, then is that going to turn out negatively for him? And it ended up, yeah, you know, being that way. I mean, we saw that in the deciding vote. Like Cody was the deciding vote who didn't like Josh or Paul. And we saw him like completely despise Josh during the season. He still cast his vote for Josh. And so, you know, that showed how much loyalty meant for Cody in the actual deciding vote, right? So, you know.
No, that is interesting. And I also think it's funny because they play back in that finale all of Josh's goodbye messages where he kind of tells people, like, I'm in a final three with...
He did a great job with that.
It's funny because I don't think he, like, meant to do that for jury management, but it, like, that's kind of what it did. And you could see, we just watched this yesterday, you can see Paul's face, like, wait a minute. Like, you soiled my plan without knowing that you were soiling my plan. It's kind of funny because then at that point I was like, I mean, the votes had been cast, but at that point I was like, because of that, he would have gotten my vote because that's a strategy. He didn't mean for it to be, but it is a strategy to like use those goodbye messages to be like, hey, here's where I'm at. Here's where my game was. And then you go back to the jury house and you're all talking about it. And you're like, wait a minute. Like, that he's not stupid, but he didn't mean to do that. But it's kind of funny. Did you like strategically plant seeds before you left or like hear anything from anyone? Or was it kind of like,
I was second jury member. So it was kind of tough to like plant seeds for the jury specifically. And I left on a double eviction, right? The double eviction was the first two jury members. So Victoria was evicted and I was evicted half an hour later. So it wasn't like if I'd stayed around for another week, like at that point, like I felt like if I'd stuck around, I probably would have had Victoria's vote, or at least a good chance of getting it as the first jury member. And then I would have, started at that point to plant seeds with the rest of the house to make sure that they voted for me in the end. And so it would have been an entirely different game if I'd stuck around past that double eviction, I think. But unfortunately, I was booted. And so I didn't really have a chance to plant those seeds. Really, with pre-jury members, it doesn't matter so much because they don't really have they're not involved in the game anymore in terms of like, you know, having a say in who wins. So there was, I think, less effort kind of focused on managing relationships before somebody walked out the house there and more of an effort, you know, Victoria and everything past her to manage those relationships and make sure that whoever was evicted that given week would cast a vote for them. And, you know, that's one of the things that Ty did well in the game too, was he managed those relationships as they walked out the door. Braden did that very well. And, you know, it obviously proved wonders in the end by both of them getting to the final two, right?
Yeah. No, it is really interesting how there's so much like the little things almost mean more in Big Brother than like the big things, because it's like, oh, they said that one thing and you hold on to that or whatever. And you see that happen with jury all the time. Yeah. But they said that thing when I was walking out the door. And then that's like the only thing people think about. And it's really interesting. Yeah. When you all were in the jury house, were you talking a lot about game or were you just like, we're here, we're hanging out, we're chilling?
It was a mix, honestly, like, especially that first week when Vic and I were there, like, it was just like, we kind of cannibalized each other here. Like we really didn't have to do some of the things that we did. I think it's just like, if we actually stuck to our guns and worked together, I think the biggest regret we had is if we stuck to our guns and worked together, we would have done substantially well in the game. But there was just so much distrust and like things that drove us apart. And it was just, yeah, it didn't turn out that way. So I think it was just kind of regret more than anything about certain things that could have happened. So I think like once that happens and you realize that you've like been evicted from the game, you know, yeah, we were talking about the game nonstop and just like, and kind of fleshing out scenarios and what could have been. But at that point, it's like really tough to consider what could have been. It's just like, kind of got to forget about it and just like consider new pieces of information that come through to be able to cast a vote in the end for whoever you think should be the winner. Right. So we tried to like, just like actually like schedule out time just to step back and just like not think about the game and relax at the jury house and just do other activities. And I think we did a good job of kind of balancing it out a little bit. So it wasn't too much, but it definitely was talked about a
yeah.
lot. Yeah.
What influenced your decision in the end?
You know what? I think like somebody said this really well, but like, I think, and the way they put it is like, I think Rohan voted for Ty because Ty played the game that Rohan wanted to play. And like, I think there's some truth to that. If I actually like think about it in terms of like, you know, Ty was actually someone I wanted to take out relatively early. Like when we were looking at like Ty, LaToya and Judson, you know, Ty was my first choice to evict from the game because I felt like he would be coming after me at some point more than the other two would. And so, you know, I think the fact that he got past that and he was able to kind of dodge a few different things that came his way throughout the season and still come out, you know, sitting in the end was, you know, that was something that I wanted to do. And he talked so smoothly to people. He won a good number of competitions, albeit closer to the end. He had decent relationships around the house. And I think at the end, just knowing that this person was against me and they had a strong hand in taking me out of the game, like I just respect that kind of like cutthroat type of stuff and, you know, making the right moves to further yourself. And so, you know, ultimately that's what influenced my decision. But like I said, I mean, like, Braden played like almost an immaculate game too, right? Like he played the best social game in the house. Like he was good with everybody. He sat on the block a number of times and I believe didn't have a single vote cast to evict him. Ty didn't even sit on the block once. And so everybody, you know, both of them had very, very convincing factors for them to win the game. And like either one of them winning the game would have been a good winner for the season. It wasn't one of those scenarios where if one of them won, it would have been like, well, I don't know. I don't know if we have a strong representation for season 9. It wasn't like that. It was like whoever won would have been a good winner. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely close and like both of them are very deserving. You know, Braden like did so many good things in the game, especially to me, like he's so good to me in the game too, especially when Austin was evicted, when Kyle was evicted and Victoria was evicted. Like it was just like him bringing the information. So, there are so many things to consider, but yeah, that's ultimately what influenced it is like, you know, what I said earlier is like Ty kind of almost playing that game I wanted to play.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. So did you watch BB23 like in real time, like as it was coming out?
Mm-hmm. I did. Yeah.
What were you thinking like throughout the season?
I was just like, you have so much of a different perspective now, right? Because like you've been in the house, you played the game, you know how they're feeling in certain situations. And so I think I could relate to them a lot more than I have in the past. Like in the past, it's just like, well, I'm a casual TV viewer. I had never watched live feeds before in my life, even though I've seen close to every season, excuse me. And so, you know, it's just like a whole kind of new experience for me to watch that on TV and like just actually know what they're going through. So, yeah, it was, and at the same time, I kind of missed like the game myself, like missed being in the game and playing it for myself. I was like, at that point, you know, when they started the season, I was, maybe a month or so, a month and a half out of Big Brother Canada. And I was like, oh, I kind of missed the house a little bit. Like I'm ready to get back in there and play again. So, you know, different emotions going through, but you know, it was definitely cool to watch the season, another diverse season in the US and to see the Cookout Alliance get formed and the first black winner in the US and double black winners in Canada and the US. Like it was great to see too. So
yeah, that's amazing. Who were like your fan favorites in the beginning for BB23?
It's actually funny because I tweeted out something in like early July or something that said, I really love right now DX, Hannah, Kylan, and Tiffany, which were the four that I ended up actually meeting in LA, which is super ironic. And I also said in that tweet, I was liking Christian because we did a BB Camp draft and DX was my first pick and Christian was my second pick in terms of like, it was kind of like a snake draft. So I had the first overall pick and then I had the very last pick as well. So unfortunately Christian went last, but I thought he actually did a good job. And I think Christian had a lot of like potential in the game. Unfortunately DX took him out and I was like, that's one of those scenarios where I was like, no, like, what are you doing? But like at the same time, you don't know a lot of the things that are going on the inside. So, you know, Christian, I thought had a lot of potential in the game. Like definitely I was happy with my pick there. But yeah, the other four that I tweeted about were just happened to be the ones that I liked the most at the beginning, and the ones that I happened to meet. But, you know, I'm looking forward to meeting the rest of the cast too, because I think like they're such a good group of people.
Yeah, oh, that's so funny. Yeah, we did like the very first episode of this podcast was the day they announced the cast. So we had nothing to go off of but photos and bios. And we were just like, all right, who do we like? Just based off of this info and like our knowledge of the game or whatever, like who do we think is going to do well? And we picked people who like didn't do very well. But I think that kind of speaks to like how A, unique this cast was in that they all felt like very normal people. And so I'm going off of like people who were typecast to be play this particular role and be this person. And so they're going in thinking, I have to play up this. I got cast to be this. So now I need to play into this. And these all like this whole cast was just like, we're going to be ourselves. And like, it was so cool to watch. So even like going off of the bios felt like you couldn't guess because these people are so normal. We don't know what they're going to do because we've never seen like normal people be themselves and play this game. And so I feel like that was kind of cool to see. Do you think like this will change the trajectory of like future casts for BB Canada or US? Or do you think people are like, cool, we got our diverse season and now we're kind of reverting back to what it was?
No, I don't think it will revert. I think it'll kind of stick around for a bit because I think if it reverts, then I think it's going to actually rub a lot of people the wrong way where it's just going to be like, oh, they just did this for ratings. So they just did this because people were really upset with the season prior or something like that, right? And so it's not going to really like take the effect that they intended it to take, which is like, this is actually representation of Canada. This is actually representation of the US. And if they're serious about that, then they'll have it stick around for a long time. So I don't anticipate that they'll get rid of it in terms of diversity. I think they'll keep the diversity component to it because like, I think we've seen like just with Survivor, with Circle, with BB Can, BBUS, like we've seen four great casts and, you know, whatever other reality TV shows out there that I'm not watching right now, like I'm sure they're kind of exploring the same thing. But I mean, I'm seeing it being talked about everywhere just in terms of the cast and the strength of the cast and like strength is in diversity, right? So I don't anticipate that they'll take that away anytime soon. And if they do, like, you know, I think it would rub some people the wrong way for sure. So, you know, I don't anticipate that.
Yeah, totally. Well, any final thoughts? Not to be Julie Chen Moonves, but do you have any final thoughts?
I'm curious to hear what your catchphrase is at the end, if you are Julie Chen Moonves. No, I mean, like, you know, thanks for having me on this podcast. I really appreciate it, Madison. I think like it's always fun talking about Big Brother, you know, Canada and US and how it relates to everything else on the outside world too. So, no, I appreciate you having me. And this was super fun.
Yeah, I had a blast. This was great. So glad we're best friends now. So this is going to be fun. When you're in LA, let us know. We'll take you to lunch or something. This was just super fun. And it was nice to kind of hear your perspective on just like you watched the season as a player. So it was really cool to hear that as well. And now you know them, which is also cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, this was fun. Looking forward to seeing what's next.
Yeah. Thank you so much. On the Block is a production of Yes Studios.
Our music is by Harrison Amer. Our executive producer and host is Madison McGee.
Our producer and co-host is AJ Christensen. And our associate producer is Emily Jacques.